Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. It was October the 11th, and I was sitting there at my desk by my study. It was just a little after 8 p.m. And my nephew called me and said, "We have an emergency with your father in Farmersville. Can you come?" My dad often talked to me about how that he's just ready to go to be with the Lord. And he's awaiting his appointed time. He says, "All the days of my appointed time will I wait. I'll await until my change comes." He told Janice and I maybe a couple weeks before, "I want to go and make out a living will." He said, "I don't want any life support or any means of resuscitation. If I pass out, please let me go. Let me go." So that evening of September 11, I drove over there. October 11, I drove over there to my dad's house, and I found my nephew Gary and his mother and a few others there, gathered around my dear Pop, as we always called him. He was always Pop. And they had him lying on the driveway, holding him in their laps. And when I got there,
I spoke to him, touched the side of his face, and I said, "Pop, it's Aaron." I didn't see any response. But my sister-in-law was at a place where she could see his face better, and she said she thought she saw a little bit of response. The emergency personnel came very shortly after that. They had called 911. His breathing was very shallow. His pulse was not able to be found. And so on my way over to my dad's house, I just cried out to the Lord. I said, "Lord, you know he wanted to make this living will, and we didn't do it yet." I said, "Please, Lord, have mercy upon us. Just make it very clear. Would you please, Lord, just make it very evident and clear?" And so as the emergency personnel arrived from the Farmersville squad there, they're Christian people, knew us well, knew my dad very well, and we told them what dad's wishes are. And they were fine with that, but they put oxygen on and they did. I believe that's about all they did at that point. But then the medics arrived. And so we conveyed with them our wishes and desires that we know what Pop's heart is. And they said, "Well, you called 911 and now you give it over to us and we must follow protocol." So anyway, the ambulance arrived as well, and they put him in the ambulance. So they followed some protocol, but we begged them to not do anything beyond what is required for them, because my dad does not want to be revived on a ventilator or such forth, and so the Lord just made it very clear. After they put him in the ambulance, his vital signs kept dropping very fast. And the head EMT personnel called a doctor and expressed what all the family that was now there is saying. Some of my other siblings began to arrive. And so they did not do CPR. They did not take him to the hospital. They had asked us to take him to the hospital. And so my pop got his wish that evening to just very swiftly and gently leave this earth. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Pop was 94 years old. "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Their works do follow them." Some of you all came to the viewing and to the funeral. You bathed us with your love and prayers, and we are very grateful. Thank you. I thought of Proverbs 16:6. "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage." And I believe as David was writing this psalm, "The lines that are fallen to me in pleasant places," the lines mark out the place of our abode and of our dwelling. And David was saying, "The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places." In Jerusalem and in the near vicinity, in with the people of God, "The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I have a good lot in life. Pleasant places." Proverbs 20. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we bless your holy name. We praise you, Lord God. Father, we confess that you are good, righteous, and just. You are a merciful heavenly Father. And Father, you know us. You know our frame. You know we are dust. And even as a father pitieth his children, so you pity them that love you, those who delight in you, those who are your children. So Father, here today again, we just ask the blessing of the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God upon each of our hearts. We ask for the revelation and the ministration of the Holy Spirit of God to minister life to this congregation. Lord, wherever we find ourselves here today, oh God, that Jesus Christ would be exalted and magnified in our lives. We love you, Lord, and we ask you now to just guide in this part of the service. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. As I was preparing for this message and not knowing what God had in store for us this morning, before I would share with the anointing and the prayer time, and I'm so blessed by that, and I believe the Lord is just putting it all together, because I really have a desire and a burden on my heart, before I knew any of those things, to share a message with us fathers today concerning a just man walking in his integrity. Integrity is a virtue of being honest, having strong moral principle and uprightness, a purity of heart. It's holding oneself to a consistent standard. It's being consistent day in, day out, in public and in private. It's consistency. It's who we are. It's who I am at the core of my being. A man of integrity. A just man walks in his integrity. It's being truthful in words and in actions. It's walking in integrity towards God and my fellow man. Oh, the man that walketh in his integrity, walking justly in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Oh, the blessing and happy results of a life that walks with God in integrity. You know, integrity is not a spiritual gift, brothers. Integrity is a virtue of life that each one of us can have. Every father here today, every young man, every young woman, every person here today can walk in integrity of heart. I'll just try to really give just a brief window into my dad's life. He was born in 1924 on January the 20th. At age 14, 1938, his father Isaac passed away. He and his brother took over farming, and Uncle Eli just lived at the end of the field lane to watch over their shoulder. At age 14, my dad took over the farm along with his brother. He honored his mother and his siblings. He went through the Great Depression, the Great Economic Depression, 1929 to the late 30s. He was just a young man when World War II broke out from 1939 to 1945. His older brother was sent to a camp to work in an alternative service instead of going to the war. My dad was also eligible for draft, but because he was working on the farm, he got what was known as a farm deferment. So he got an exception. During the time of his youth, the men who did not go off to war for conscientious objector's sake knew very clearly where the lines were between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of our God and His Christ. Things were pretty black and white. My dad would tell me stories. He dreaded to have to go to town, because almost invariably someone would accost him and say, "Why are you in the war?" It was good for my dad. That was his testimony. The lines were clear. They would have never dared to go out and pleasure with the worldly youth of that day. It might have even been dangerous to their physical health, their bodily health, their life. They were called names. They were mocked. These things were forming my dad's character. They were poor, just coming out of the Great Depression. My dad married on November 18, 1944 to my dear mother, Anna Mae Snyder. There's 8 children, of which I'm the youngest. The 4th child to be born into my parents' family was a severely physically handicapped son who never walked. Had very serious curvature of the spine to where he was leaning sideways, very, very severe. He went through a lot of surgeries, my brother Lester. All of us children had the opportunity to care for my brother Lester because he couldn't help himself. Lester died on February 29, 1984, at age 34. My pop was ordained a deacon on December 17, 1968, when I was 11 years old. He had many opportunities to see the hand of God at work in ministry over a 50-year time of serving as a deacon, from 1968. He would go to the deacon meetings and chair the meetings up until just this last one, just a couple weeks before he died. My mom passed away on August 17, 1994. My dad lived alone, did his own housekeeping, caring for himself, very active. He was a man of faith and confidence. Probably the greatest example I saw of his faith. This is really precious. He had skin cancer on his nose, and he had a surgery done to remove it. About a year later, the skin cancer began to reappear. And he went back to the surgeon, and the surgeon said, "We have to do another surgery." So they scheduled the surgery. And one of those days that I just came down through Farmersville, and I just had to stop in to see Pop. I stopped in to see Pop after that diagnosis of another need for a surgery. He said, "Aaron, look at my nose." I said, "Yeah, Pop." He said, "Look. There was not a sign of skin cancer. And it looked ugly before that. There was nothing." He said, "I'm healed." So we got to talk about healing that day. He said, "I asked the Lord to heal me." He didn't say a whole lot, but except he let me know that he persisted in asking. Not just once, but persisted in just making his request, his petition known before God. I hope that's an encouragement to all of us. You know, ask. While the surgery was scheduled, and I believe there was a call made to try to cancel the surgery, but his doctor was very new age, millions of years, and did not have any profession of godliness or faith in God. So he just very bluntly told us that he diagnosed it, and this kind of disease does not just go away. Okay. So Pop said, "No problem." So we went in for the surgery. I took him in. So the nurses were saying, "We're prepping you for surgery." He said, "No, just wait a minute here. The doctor needs to see me first." So the doctor, he was a little irritated that this patient is asking him to come see him. Not yet prepped for surgery, you know. So the doctor came, and Pop said, "Look at my nose, examine that." The doctor examined him, and he could not find any skin cancer. And so he was just stunned. Well, he said, this is just very unusual. I have not seen anything like this." And so Pop, witnessing to him, told him, well, he said, "I believe in divine healing." And the doctor just sort of said, "Oh." And he turned and left the room. But the nurses, some of them were professing Christians, and they got to just praising the Lord and just celebrating with my Pop that he's healed and you don't need surgery. And wow, what a blessing. You know, my dad was a man of faith greater than I knew. He would tell me some stories about deacon ministry opportunities that he had to see the hand of God move where there was no other explanation but God. Surely I am blessed. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. Father's here today. Each one of us has that same opportunity. I'm not here today to lift up a man. My dad was human. He had failures too. He had testings and trials in life also. I believe that God heard his cry, and God, he was praying this prayer, and he was telling quite a few people that someday, I just won't be here anymore. It'll all be over. And he had a real deep longing desire, and of course all of us would, that he could go to be with the Lord while still being active, doing the things he loved and serving people. He loved people. I won't take too long. I'll bring this to a close real shortly. I thank God for the contentment of my dad. He taught me, don't pursue money. It's fleeting. He was content to just have a place to raise his family. And we were never rich, but we were never lacking. He was a thankful, patient dad. Cheerful, optimistic, positive. Year 2000, the mailman that delivered his mail was just all up in nervous wreck about 2000. And he talked for 15 minutes when he came to my dad's place. And my dad would try to encourage him. And after year 2000 rolled around without a catastrophic collapse or something, why, the mailman was hanging his head saying, "Oh, I should have not been so worried. I should have been like you." But how can you be like that? Have faith in the face of all kinds of pessimistic predictions. My dad was an encourager. He taught me to give. Pop taught me to live for others. He demonstrated that. Love people. Invest your life in people. He loved to go to the New Holland sales stable. And I should have brought some of these. He'd asked me for these little tracks. You know the ones where you hold up two cards and the one looks bigger than the other when you hold them side by side? Some of you have seen them already. So he would take those and show them to people at the New Holland sales stable and say, which one's bigger, you know? And they'd say, "Oh, well, that's easy." You know, and then he'd switch them to the other side, you know, the blue and the red, you know, and then it's like, oh. Well, then on the back of it was a gospel message about not being deceived. You must read the Bible. You must know what the Bible says. And then he'd say, "Would you like a pair of these?" And then he'd give them out, you know. He always loved to meet new people. Yeah, the old familiar ones, but meet new people. From the time my mother passed, until now my pop's passing, we had him every Monday evening for supper. And then some of his favorite things to talk about was who he met during that past week at Farmersville Auction, at the New Holland Sales Stable, or wherever he went to meet people. So I decided, I'm going to New Holland Sales Stables. Pop's funeral was on a Monday, so I couldn't go that first Monday. But then the next Monday, I went to New Holland Sales Stables. And I just wandered around there, and people would see me. "Oh, are you one of Ferris's boys?" And then they would go on to say something about my pop. That was a rich experience. It was a blessing. Some things Pop taught me. Invest in people. Love people. Eternal investment. He taught me to love my wife and my children. I never once heard my Pop and mom speak any unkind or angry words to each other. He demonstrated love at home, not just outside of the home, but he demonstrated love at home to my mom, to me, to us children. He gave me an orderly home life. You know, it was not, you never knew where you're going. You could depend on it. Stability, integrity, faithfulness. He gave me disciplining life of regular time to go to bed, a regular time to wake up, a regular meal time, a time to do your work, a time to have some leisure, a time to play, a time to go visit. Oh, that was a big thing. We'd go visit. And all of us children would be clamoring for who we're going to go visit tonight. We'd go visit some of the cousins, you know, aunts and uncles, and oh, precious times. He taught me when it's Sunday, you go to church. I can't remember missing a church service one time unless it was an emergency. He taught me to value the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, church, fellowship. Value, care, love. We can pass that along too, can't we? Amen. Never late for church. I can't remember being late for church once. Now, I don't think we came quite as early as Brother Robert does here. Brother Robert is so faithful here Sunday mornings. He gets here very early before anybody else and turns on the lights and opens the church up and prays over the church service coming up. And Brother Robert, where are you? Is he here? He was here this morning. Downstairs right now. God bless you, Brother Robert. Appreciate you. Things Pop Taught Me. If you're looking for a title, those who are looking for a title, Things Pop Taught Me, and then also a subtitle, A Father's Many Generation Influence. A Father's Many Generation Influence. I know the pulpit here maybe blocks a little bit of the view of what I have up here. I'll explain it a bit. I have my pop and my mom at the top middle. Then I have 8 circles that represent their children, of which I am the youngest. Then I have the next generation of my pop's and mom's grandchildren, which are 43 grandchildren. Then I have the next generation, which are great grandchildren, and that is 192. 192 great grandchildren. Out of those 192 great grandchildren, there are 14 of them that are married. And out of those 14 married great-grandchildren, there are 18 great-great. Is there another great? No, 2 greats, right? Great-great grandchildren. Now, whether you're married here today, or whether you're a young man or a young woman, the power of influence, a father and a mother's influence for many generations. A just man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. My dear brothers, this is something we all are called to, and all of us can cry out to God, and we can repent of going our own way and put our faith and confidence in God. And we can leave a blessed generation after us. Think with me for a moment. If my pop would have caved in and given in to sin, how different this might look up here. And I say this very carefully. I almost don't know how to say it, because I don't want to exalt or lift up a man, but I want to exalt the principles of God and that they work. Out of all these marriages, there's not one divorce. Praise the Lord! You can have that kind of influence upon your generation. Out of all these represented behind me on this board, there is not one that is walking anti-God and rebellious toward God. Not one. Praise the Lord! To God be the glory! In fact, I don't know of anyone that's using tobacco. I don't know of anyone that's using alcoholic beverages, even in social drinking. Brothers, but you might say, but I don't have that kind of a heritage. Well, you know what the scriptures say. Such were some of you, all kinds of sinners, but now you are washed, you are clean. Now you can set the example going forward from today for your generations to come. Oh, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. I just so long and desire that this little testimony, this little glimpse, can just be an encouragement to all of us here. Youth, see, it doesn't wait to start till you're married. You are already laying a foundation as a youth, even a child. So I just want to encourage us today as fathers. Think of the holy possibilities. Wow. Fathers, you and I are leaving an influence that will affect many generations. You can't say, well, I just won't leave one. No, you can't choose that. You are leaving one. Oh, think of the possibilities. Wow. All of these descendants walking in righteousness and holiness, these descendants, handmaidens of the Lord, young men of God filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine? God says, I will pour out of my Spirit in the last days, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Oh, glory to God. Let's get a holy vision for what God wants to do with our families. Oh, I love evangelistic work. It's wonderful to see a soul get saved out there. But look at this. It's wonderful to raise up a family in godliness, and then it carries on into the next generation and the next, and their children are blessed after them. Oh, hallelujah. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Go for it, brothers, sisters, youth. Go for it in the name of Jesus. Because life is just like the sand trickling through the glass. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. only what's done
with Christ shall last.
Thank you, Aaron, for sharing that with us today. An encouragement to us as dads to follow God with all of our hearts. And one thing I wanted to say also is, Brother Aaron, you were talking about the principles that your dad lived by. And you also, Aaron, live by a principle of honoring your father. We've seen that many times, and we bless you for that. That was a godly example to us. I've thought about it different times, the relationship, the honor that you had for your dad. Very beautiful. Does anyone have something God has laid on your heart to share here? We'll give just a couple of minutes before we close things up. Just raise your hand. Got a hand up here.
Yeah, so with the anointing that we had this morning, I just thought of the verse where it says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, etc. I know we've heard that so many times, but I just want to say that that's true. Because, you know, I went through some things in my life that felt like bad things, and they felt so bad. It was only by God's grace that I was able to get through them. But looking back, I'm almost at the place where I'm glad those things happened. So I just want to bear witness to the truth of that verse that we've all heard so many times. I want to say that's true. And I would encourage anybody else who's going through something that is 100% true. And I'm almost not afraid of bad things happening, because I know that nothing bad will happen to me as long as I love God.
Yeah. Thank you for that word of faith, Jason. Beautiful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else have something to share? The things that come to the children of God have to first cross His desk. Amen. Go ahead, Lester.
I was just very blessed with the point here. There's a verse that came to my mind as Aaron was sharing here. You know, his dad probably had a lot of hard things to face, especially at his young age, losing his father. But the thing is, the verse that came to my mind was, draw near to God. Mm-hmm. And He will draw near to you.
Amen. Beautiful verse.
At those hard times, if you choose to become bitter or just go your own way, you don't get the blessing of God drawing near to you. He wants to draw often through those hard times. He wants to draw near, but He has to get our attention that we draw near to Him. And then He will draw near to us.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I just had to think of that song, you know, that I have thought of this song, Near My God to Thee. And that song speaks the heart of the author of that song.